Thank you for the privilege, Pastor Joe and Bookie, for being able to speak here this morning. Whenever I stand to preach the Word of God, I count it a great honor, a great privilege to be able to do that. And this morning, that song that you heard and you saw, a friend of this church, Pastor Rajan, Theogaraja, came up to me and at a prayer time of prayer, we were praying in the gate of Fremantle. Pastors had gathered there together as instructed by God. We came there to pray for this city. And as at the end of it, he came up to me and he just said, I saw you singing a song over the nation of Australia. And, you know, you get prophetic words and you get prophetic words. But this one kind of just sat with me, and it sat with me for a couple of months and it wouldn't leave me. And so in the end, I said, Lord, well, if you want me to sing something over this nation, then you're going to have to put the words in my mouth. So I sat at the piano one day and just began to write. And I said, Holy Spirit, bring it. And that's what came forth, that song. And so what I encourage you to do with that video that you saw is to give it to unsaved people. Because, yes, I want to bless God's people, but I want to see people saved. I want to see people come to the Lord. Good to see Russell Seymour here today. G'day, mate. How are you? Great to see you. I want to speak to you this morning about the winds of change. You know, as we walk with God, there will be times where God literally demands of us that we come out of our comfort zone. And most of us are like the rest of us. We like the familiar place. We like the place of comfort. We like to a place where we know where we can control things. But God is always wanting to transition us into our purpose and our destiny. He wants us to arrive at what He planned for our lives before the foundation of the earth. He wants every person here to come to that place. But in order to get there, we have to open our heart to go from where we are to where God intends us to be. There is a process that God takes us through to get us to the place that God would have us be in. That means there's got to be a willingness inside of us, in our hearts, to make that change, to make that transition, to go to where God wants. There's going to be some adjustments inside of us. Even last night, as I was spending time with God, He made some adjustments inside of me. There's some things He addressed in my life that I have to make adjustment to, which all makes it possible to arrive at the place God has for us. Now, God does not do anything without the arrival of a season. And every God season in our life is a season of visitation. The prophet Daniel said in Daniel 2, verses 21 to 22, He changes the times and the seasons. Who does? God changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and He raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells in Him. To everything, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season. That means we can't escape the seasons of God in our life, because to everything there is a season and for a time for every purpose under heaven. So a season comes. A season is a pocket of time. It's a period of opportunity that God brings into our life, and it's accompanied with a purpose.
It's accompanied with an assignment, and God doesn't give us a purpose and an assignment and just say, I hope you make it. When God gives us a purpose and an assignment, He gives us an anointing to carry out that assignment. Just like that song that you see, God doesn't say something to us and say, I want you to step out of your comfort zone. You know, it's not my habit to write songs, by the way. But to step out of your comfort zone and do what God is saying. Even if there are storms all around you, even if there are winds blowing, and you know, I'm talking about the winds of change today. There can be wind and storm all around you, but God can issue you with an instruction to come out and walk on the water with Him. And I want to tell you, I want to encourage you this morning that what was meant to drown you, God is calling us to walk out and to walk on top of it. God wants you to walk on top of the situations and the circumstances of your life, just like Peter walked on top of the water. And it takes some kind of faith to get out there and to step out of our comfort zone, to step out of that place. But once we're out there, we need sustaining faith to keep us there, and then we need to complete what it is that God is instructing us to do in this new season. There's two things about God that we need to understand. First of all, God's personality is always the same. He doesn't change. He says, I am the Lord and I do not change, Malachi 3:6. He doesn't change. That is, His character doesn't change. He will always be Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He will always be Jehovah Rapha, your healer. He will always be Jehovah Shalom, your peace, and so on. He will always be who He said He would be. He will always be the great I Am. He will always be Emmanuel. God is with us. So God's personality is always the same, but God is always doing new things. He changes the way and the directions and the methods of how He does things. And we have to be open to those ways and directions and be willing to transition and to change the course of our life. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19 says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth? Shall you not know it? Question mark. Because if we're not looking for it, there's a chance we may miss it. That's why the question mark is there. Shall you not know it? The Amplified says, shall you not perceive it? Now it springs forth. And I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In other words, if you're willing to look to God for this new thing in His new season, He will make a way for you. He will make a way where there isn't any way. You know, it's not normal to see a road in the wilderness or a river in the desert. You don't normally see rivers in the desert. But even in the dry places of our life, even in the struggles of our life, God will make a way. So His character doesn't change, but He does change the way He does things. He's always doing something new. So we have to be open to change in our thinking and in the way God does things. Otherwise, we can be stuck in the wilderness for a long time. We can come into a place of stagnation in our life. We become stale if we're not open to change when it comes to the kingdom of God. So there's some questions that I'd like to ask you this morning, who is leading you? That's a good question. Because where he leads, he guides. Where he guides, he provides. And where he provides, he protects. Another question, who do you listen to? There's many voices that are clamoring for our attention. The loudest voice that we have is the voice of our soul. The voice of reason, the voice of my desire. It's a very loud voice. But who do we listen to? Do we listen to the voice of pain? The voice of pain is a loud voice. When pain comes into our life, not just physical pain, but, you know, pain in relationships. Pain when there's too much week left at the end of the money causes pain. When interest rates are rising, like seems like every week or every month, you know, putting pressure on families. Things seem to be accelerating. So we can listen to the voice of pain. We can listen to the voice of the enemy. Now, the voice of the enemy comes with suggestions to make us look at God in a crooked way. To make us doubt God is really with us. And to cause us to second guess God. So there's all these voices, but then there's the voice of God. It's the voice of peace. When God begins to speak, it seems like a peace comes over our soul. A peace comes over our heart. Who do you depend upon? God or others? Who do you focus on? Is God number one priority in your life? So we've got to answer these questions. Who is leading us? Who are we listening to? Who do we depend upon? Who do we focus upon? Because God, in this new season, is wanting us to step out of our comfort zone. He's wanting to bring us, the church, into a place of transition. Now, often when we're in transition, you know, transition is like a passage or a hallway or a corridor from one place to another. We're not sure which door to open when you walk down the corridor. But God, if we're listening to his voice, if we'll allow him to lead us and to guide us, will lead us to the right door in which we should walk through. See, God is always in the process of forming us. When we're called by God, when we're saved, we don't want to stay in that same state that we found him or he found us. In fact, he found us. And so in Isaiah 43 verse 1, looking at Jacob, for example, it says, "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Now, Jacob was born, Jacob, a supplanter. That's what his name means, a deceiver, a trickster. But there's a formation process that God takes us through to bring us into who he really wants to be, Israel. "I created you, Jacob, but I formed you to be Israel." In Isaiah 9 verse 8, it says, "The Lord sent a word against Jacob, but it has fallen on Israel." So we can receive a word from God, and when God begins to speak, it's about our future. And when God speaks, we think, well, how can I ever do that? How can I write a song? How can I do these things? How can I be where God wants me to be? Through the formation process. By allowing our lives to be put in the hands of God, just like in the hands of a potter and allow him to mold us and shape us and form us into exactly what he needs us to be. See, every person sitting here this morning is a purpose that has been born into the earth. The key is to arrive at that purpose by allowing God to form us through that formation and transition process. It's like the word metamorphosis. That's what transformation or transforming means. It's like that caterpillar, he forms the cocoon around. It's life. It's not a very attractive creature. You know, it's a caterpillar. Pretty ugly looking. And let's face it, when before Jesus got a hold of our lives, we were pretty ugly looking. Sin makes us look ugly. But through the process of forming our lives, when we surrender our life to Jesus and we allow him to lead us and we follow him, he transforms us from a caterpillar into a butterfly, from a crawling creature into a flying creature. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. If we'll just allow our lives to become one with his, the Father in us and we in the Father, as that oneness takes place, a transformation takes place in our life, and we go from being a crawling creature to a flying creature. And it says, they shall walk and not faint. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall mount up as wings of eagles. He wants to make us into flying creatures that come into the purpose of God for our life. And you know, through the word, through the Bible, there are many examples of transition, of change, like the transition of humanity. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But that transition process, that love, that so loved the world process, meant a lot of pain and persecution and hardship and opposition and betrayal. It's called a cross. That's what it costs to transition humanity from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. When Paul had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, he had a transition from being a persecutor of the church to being a promoter of the church and of Jesus Christ. Abraham. Let me, before we talk about Abraham, the disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who were basically the leadership team of Jesus that he had surrounded himself with. He said, if you'll follow me, I will make you fishers of men. That speaks of a formation. You'll no longer be fishing fish, you'll be fishing men. And he will make them into those people who will bring about the salvation of many. And we see that as the church is formed for the first time, Peter gets up, being transformed, and speaks, and thousands of people come to Christ. Abraham, who before he was Abraham was Abram, and God comes and speaks to him in Genesis 12, verse 1. He says to Abram, go for yourself, for your own advantage. The Amplified says it like this, for your own advantage, away from your country, away from your relatives or your kindred, away from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Abram was a pagan worshiper. He hears the voice of God for the first time. And God says, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your family. And I want you to leave your father's house. You know, transition and change demands a shift in our location. It demands an adjustment, a change. And if we will transition with God, this is what God says to Abram, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And goes on to tell him that he'll make his name famous and so on. However, if Abram stayed inside of his comfort zone, inside of his country, inside of his family, inside of his father's house, he never would have become Abraham. But the Bible says in verse 4 of Genesis 12, so Abram departed as the Lord had directed him. There's got to be a willingness to transition, to shift out of our country. Now, this speaks to us prophetically as today, as God's people, to shift out of your culture, to shift out of your customs. You know, quite a number of you have come from other nations. Australia is a totally different culture to Nigeria. Pastor Joe said, amen. It's different. And it takes an adjustment to be able to move into a new culture. But even the Aussie culture, there's some things we've got to move out of in our Aussie culture. The she will be right mate attitude. We've got to shift in our thinking because she won't be right mate. It won't be right unless God is leading us, unless we're following Jesus. So it's uncomfortable to get out of your culture and out of your customs that you're familiar with and you like. But if we don't adjust, we can't glean from the new place where God is transitioning to us to. You can't get the blessing from that if you don't adjust to it. Move out of your family. See, your family, our families is usually a place where we draw our source from, our dependence, our reliance. But God says, I want to be your source. Abram, I want to be your source. I want you to rely on me. I mean, if we rely upon Jesus, when tax time comes, Peter, go catch a fish and you'll find the tax money inside the fish's mouth. Out of your father's house, this speaks of a shift in our identity because we are formed by our upbringing in our father's house. You ever wonder why so many in this new generation are not sure whether they're Arthur or Martha? Because there's an absence of fathers in the house. And we, whether we realize it or not, we are formed by the father's image. No pressure, dads, but it's true. And so I want you to come out of your father's house, Abram. I want you to come out even from that place of identity because I want to form a new identity. Your identity is now in Christ. Your identity is found in Jesus. He is the lover of our soul. He paid the price to bring us into a new identity. And every person living in this nation or the nations of the earth, they will not find their true identity. They won't know who they really are until they find themselves in Christ. Ruth had to move from her place, similar situation. She was totally blessed. She met a man called Boaz, gave birth to Obed, who became the grandfather of David, one of the greatest kings, and the lineage of Jesus Christ. But she had to make a decision. When Naomi said she was going back to where she came from, this is what Naomi said: where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. And where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. She was a Moabitess. Totally different culture, totally different situation where Naomi was going. She was going to have a new pursuit, a new placement, a new culture, a new religion, and a new land. But look how much God blessed her when she stepped out in faith. She stepped out of the comfort zone that she was used to, out of her country, out of her family, out of her father's house. She found a new identity. Oh, that we were like Ruth. So what happens if we refuse to transition? We refuse to change. You know, Hopalong Cassidy, he was a cowboy in America. He made this statement: people change, but not much. So what happens if we refuse to transition? Well, we're just talking about Ruth, who was a Moabitess, and in Jeremiah 48, verses 11 to 13, it says that Moab had been at ease from his youth, and he was settled on his lees like wine, and has not been drawn off from one vessel to another, neither has he gone into exile. Therefore his taste remains in him, and his scent is not changed. Prophetically here, the taste speaks to us of what comes out of our mouth. We're still speaking the same old things if we don't transition, if we don't allow God to bring us into a new season, come out of our comfort zone. Still smell the same, got the same scent, speaking of our character, our lifestyle, our attitude, our behavior. You know, if our children are misbehaving, say, your attitude stinks. You know, sometimes our character and our attitude stinks. And we need to transition to allow God to change that aspect of our life. So God says, I will send tippers or tilters of the bottle to make sure you'd get transitioned from one place to another, one season to another. Now, Moab doesn't like change. He doesn't like transition. He's at ease. He's comfortable. So how do we deal with and expose an unhealthy belief system? You know, we think we're okay where we're at, but God is always advancing us. The kingdom of God is advancing. He's always wanting to increase us. So, you know, I don't drink wine. I don't drink alcohol. But this is how the process of wine: you gather the grapes, you squeeze them, and you got the flesh and the stem and all of the juice, all of the parts of you, if you like. And when you let it settle and you pour it into another vessel — this is in the olden days, they used to pour it from bottle to bottle, now they have big vats — and you leave all the residue, all the rubbish behind. And they do this over and over and over until it's clear and clean looking. It's the same with transition. We are being poured from one season to another to become better. God doesn't do it to punish us, but to bring us into a better situation. But sometimes we just refuse to come out of our comfort zone. So God will allow and orchestrate situations and circumstances in our life to get us to where He needs us to be. It's not because He doesn't love us. It's because He does love us. He wants you to arrive at your purpose and your destiny. And so sometimes, just like in this instance with Moab, God will orchestrate things to pour you out whether you like it or not. Anybody ever been through something like that? I have. He'll pour you out. We have to be poured out to be clearer, to cleaner, be cleaner and taste better, so that our character improves. So that what we speak out of our mouth is not negative. It's not bringing our situation into a worse place, but into a better place. How are you going? Well, I'm well under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under them? God wants you to walk on top of them. What seems to be drowning you, come on, Peter, come. Just one word, come, come out of the boat. And he comes. Amazingly, Peter steps out of the boat. And you and I are to be people of faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If faith is a substance, you better know what substance is. If you study the word substance, I can't remember what the Greek word is. I'm not very good at Greek, but this is what it means. That word literally means a substructure or a foundation underneath you. Something that you can stand on. So when God speaks, as Peter stepped out on the word, come, as Abram stepped out on the word, depart, as the disciples stepped out on the word, follow me, that's all he said. That word was enough because the substance, the thing that's underneath you that you can stand on, and the legal meaning of the word substance is a title deed that gives you ownership of a thing. So this Bible, let me have your Bible there for a minute. This Bible is the title deed to every promise that God has made for your life. It is the literal foundation. It is the substructure underneath your life that you can stand upon. So if you are not inputting the substance, the word, the promise of God into your life day and night, we can't afford to be Christians who are just, you know, look at the Bible every now and again, or we open it on a Sunday when the pastor preaches. Your spirit can't be sustained by that. Your spirit can only be sustained by what you put in the morning and in the evening. So when you get up, read the word, put it into your life. Before you go to sleep at night, read a chapter of the word of God. And as I read that, a chapter out of James last night, God began to deal with some areas of my life. I cried for quite a while, But are we open to transition? Are we open to change? It can only happen if we are formed on the Word of God. If we've got a strong substance, we'll have a strong faith. We mentioned Jacob a moment ago. I created you, O Jacob. I formed you, O Israel. Jacob comes to a riverbank called Jabbok. He's been through a whole lot of stuff. He's reaped what he sowed. He sowed a lot of deception, supplanting, and he received the same from his uncle. But now he's on his way back to meet Esau, and he's on the riverbank all by himself. He's put all of his family across. And the angel of the Lord shows up, and he's wrestling. The Bible says he wrestles with God. So that angel of the Lord, that'll give you a clue to who the angel of the Lord was. Many people think it's Jesus. He's wrestling. Jabbok means emptying. He's in the place of being emptied of the old Jacob. And he's wrestling, and it's almost daylight, and God says, you got to let me go. Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, God's touched him on his hip. He's in excruciating. If you ever have your hip out of your socket, you'll be in excruciating pain. In this excruciating pain, Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. That word bless there means to pronounce a benediction on who I am. Bring an end to Jacob. Today, Lord, bring an end to Steve Davis today. And let Christ arise. Let Christ come to the forefront. So the tilter will come, situations will come to take you from one phase of our life to the next phase. Season to season. Let me finish by giving you some things that could indicate to you you're going through or entering into a time of transition. Number one, there is a disruption to your plans. There could be some sort of disturbance happening. We may have things planned and arranged, but we forget that God has a plan for our lives. When Paul wanted to go to Asia, God said, no, you can't go there. Wanted to go to Bithynia, no, you can't go there. God wants us to arrive at his destination. So there could be a disruption to your plan. Secondly, there could be a dissipation of your resources, or your resources seem to be disappearing. When drought came, Elijah found himself at the brook Cherith, but after a while that brook dried up. So what do you when things dry up? Do you panic? Or do you wait to hear what God says about the next place he wants to transition you into? Zarephath. There'll be a lady waiting for you there. She'll take care of you. Number three, a disillusion of relationships. Relationships are powerful and valuable, but sometimes God separates us from people for a reason. David found himself in Ziklag fighting along with the Philistine king, and the king said, listen, the Lords don't approve of you. You can't have to go. You can't fight with us anymore. Abram has gone out. He's following God towards a place of promise. He took his nephew Lot with him. And all of a sudden there's a dispute between the herdsman of Lot and the herdsman of Abraham. So God separates them. Psalm 23 says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I want you to hear that. He makes you sometimes. Makes you lie down. And I went through some situations in my life. And I, you know, often pray Psalm 23 out. I pray it out. And I realized, you know, I'm here because this morning because Pastor Margaret Court released me to come. I always tell her if I'm going to minister out. But she's been very kind to me. Been very good to me. And so I'm praying this out one day. And the Lord shows me that Victory Life is my green pasture. And sometimes we have to be willing to let something go to arrive at the next season and the new green pasture that God has for our lives. You know, it may not look green at the beginning, but if you allow God to make you lie down, plant you, He'll make that place green for you. So the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as are the watercourses, but He turns it whichever way He wills. Number four, the feeling of restlessness. Just feel like things are getting, you know, just not the same as they used to be. This is a holy restlessness comes into your life. That's an indicator. God is bringing about change. Number five, when things are not working out and the doors are closing, we have to discern and ask God and seek God. Is this, you know, are you closing this door or is it the devil? But, you know, Paul was forbidden, like I mentioned, he was forbidden to go to certain places. And then he heard the Macedonian call. Every movement of God, I say of God. Every movement of God is for our protection. Because God loves you, He wants to protect you. And sometimes, you think, why are you disconnecting me from here? Why am I feeling restless? What's going on? And then number six, there will be rapid, unexpected opportunities. Things will start to pop up. Doors will start to open. What was hard starts to become easy. And Isaiah 22:22 says, He shall open and no one shall shut, and He shall shut and no one shall open. When all these gifts started to arrive in David's life, he realized it was an indicator that God had made him king of Israel. Things began to change. Doors were opening. It doesn't mean the enemy won't show up, but God will help you achieve your goal, so don't step back. So if you sense God is saying, step out into this certain area in this brand new season, then arise and release what God has for you. Like Isaiah, the prophet says, arise, shine. For the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And lastly, this morning, a reoccurring, number seven, a reoccurring theme occurring in your heart. Just keeps coming into your heart. God can speak in many different ways. But once I grab a hold of what God is saying, He will demand that I pursue it. He wants to bring transition and change. Every transition demands a battle. Every transition involves protection. Even though there's a fight for your purpose and a fight for your destiny, God will protect you. He will uphold you with His righteous right hand. My mother used to love that scripture. He will uphold you with his righteous right hand. So when the winds of change are blowing, which they are right now, we have to submit to the process of God. Be willing. You know, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So I encourage you, give control to the Holy Spirit. Give him the control. Allow him to process you. Because destiny comes by processes. It comes that way. That's been my experience. And I know that today, that Hill City Church, God is wanting to take you into a new season. He's wanting you to arrive at your destiny. Every individual here is wanting you to arrive at it. But the question is, are you willing to come out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to come out of what is familiar? I can't answer that question for you. Only you can answer that question. Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. I want to thank you for these precious people that have assembled here to worship you, to hear from you. And I ask, Lord, that what has been spoken would become revelation this morning. It won't just be, oh, that's a good message, but it'd be revelation. It would be impartation today. Something they can build their life on as they end 1 year and go into another year, Father.